Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. Our invocation will be given by Russ Robertson, and our Pledge of Allegiance by Mayor Councilwoman Bass. Would you be able to do that for us? Okay,
sure.
Thank you. Please stand.
Good evening. Bow with me if you will. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon this community. And Lord, we thank you for the abundance of rain that you have provided for our thirsty valley. And Lord, tonight we ask you to bless our mayor, our city council, our city manager, that you would guide them and help them to make the important decisions that affect the citizens of this great community. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join our council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have the roll call, please? Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Fast.
Here.
Councilmember Pinon.
Here.
Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Betancourt.
Here.
Agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
There are none from staff, Mayor. Okay.
May I just interject? There was some corrections to the minutes of where I still put Mayor Salino and corrected them to read correctly Mayor Betancourt. And on our closed agenda, we did make a change to the APN number. And the correct APN number is 365-190-37T. And all corrections are uploaded onto our website. Okay, if there are other additions or deletions, do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes.
Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are not on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments this evening? Just come to the front and introduce yourself and your address, please.
My address?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Patty Valdero, 7215 South Frankwood, Reedley, California. Good evening, Mayor Betancourt and City Council members. My name is Patty Valdero, and I am president of the Reedley Historical Society. We are celebrating the centennial, the 100th birthday of the Reedley's very first City Hall, which has been the home of the Reedley Museum since 1979. On behalf of the Reedley Historical Society, we'd like to invite you to the City Hall Centennial. The former City Hall was built in 1917, and we're celebrating all those who have worked in this building, such as City Hall, City Council, Police Department, Fire Department, and Ambulance. We cordially invite you to attend the City Hall Centennial Dedication on Friday, March 3rd at 3 p.m. at the museum. The day's festivities will include a dedication of a plaque, brief histories of each department, a bucket brigade between the fire and police explorers, an open house of the museum, and light refreshments. Hope to see each one of you on March 3rd at 3 p.m. I will be leaving in an invitation for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh,
Thank you, Patty.
Are there any more comments from the public? Hearing none, then we'll move on to the agenda items. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. So is there any items that the council or the public wishes to remove?
I'd like to remove 2 and 5.
If there's not any more, do I have a motion for the remaining ones?
So moved.
Second.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes. Number 2, ratification of FEMA Safer Grant Application EMW-2016-FF-00181 for regional recruitment and retention of volunteer firefighters submitted on February 10, 2017. Fire Chief?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. How can I help you?
Maybe if you could just briefly go over what we're planning to do here and the names of the cities that are going to be involved in this project.
Sure. This is a wonderful opportunity. It's already pretty much been in place. Started 5 years ago. The city of Sanger actually submitted a very similar application, got the ball rolling, and it includes Reedley, Dinuba, Sanger, Kingsburg, and Orange Cove, I think.
Parler.
I mean, make sure.
Mm-hmm. Parler.
Not, yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot Selma. Sanger, Selma, Dinuba, Reedley, Kingsburg, and Orange Cove.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those six agencies are involved. The grant is administered through the city to the Valley ROP program.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own coordinators. They have their instructors that teach at various locations. The Reedley Fire Department is a location currently that the program is at, and as well as Dinuba, as well as Sanger, as well as Selma. And this is basically a continuation. We're hoping to continue the program. It's been a real benefit for all of the communities and all of the agencies. It's for junior and senior high schoolers, and it allows them to learn about fire technology, medical terms. It allows them, being on site like at the Reedley Fire Station, to be hands-on and go out and look at the equipment and become familiar with it. And we have males and females alike that are in these classes. Mm-hmm. And we also encourage the students that are in these ROP classes to become fire explorers at the various agencies that offer that program. And we have a number of students in our fire explorer program as well. So it really benefits us. And through the explorer program, we've picked up quite a few fire explorers as Reedley volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nature of our department is that, you know, people come and they go, their lives change, they're volunteers, life changes quite a bit. And so we're constantly looking for folks. And this is a great, great way to groom these students at a young age, mm-hmm. and bring them right into something that they can take with them for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. So the grant is fully funded. There's no matches. It pays for the entire program, and we're not out 1 cent.
So do we get some money to administer this then?
We do. There's an allowance of $9,500 per year under administrative costs, and that comes to the city of Reedley.
Thank you, Chief.
You bet.
Thank you. So, do we have a motion?
I move.
Second.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. Number five, consider the following items A and B related to the Systematic Safety Analysis Report Program. Number A, adopt resolution number 2017-0110, granting authority to the city manager to sign program supplement agreement number P58 to administering agency state agreement number 06-521-6R for state funding projects number 00315S, and B, adopt budget resolution number 2017-011, amending the fiscal year 2016-2017 budget to appropriate funds in the amount of $250,000 for the preparation of a systematic safety analysis report. Okay.
Good evening. John Robertson, City Engineer. I can answer any questions you might have.
Okay. One question that I have, I just want to make sure this money is money through Measure C and through the state, that there are no funds that our city general fund is having to pay for.
There are no local general funds on this. The 90% of it is coming from the Systematic Safety Analysis Report Program, which is part of the HSIP funds. And the other 10% will be from the flexible funding through Measure C. So no local monies are involved in this.
Okay, and they're going to be looking at like intersections for safety, is that correct?
It's a system-wide analysis looking at crash locations, and they'll get a lot of information from the state, which is called SWTRS. It's where they collect a lot of transportation data through the California Highway Patrol. Also a lot of information that we collect here. They'll be comparing those data, looking at the locations of them, why they're occurring, what's happening. Is there something in the system that could be applied across the system, mm-hmm. a countermeasure that could address or alleviate some of those safety issues that they might be having. We'll also have them be looking at intersections throughout the town to look at the geometry of the intersections to see and evaluate the site distance issues that we have at some of those locations that could be also leading itself to creating accidents.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Does this report have an expiration date, or is it good for future projects?
The intent of it is to identify projects that will safety in nature, so that can be corrected through countermeasures that we can use for or submit for HSIP funding and have a better opportunity to obtain those program funds through the HSIP program, because it identifies all and meets all the requirements. They identify projects that meet all the requirements of the HSIP programming, and so we are already not pre-approved, but we have a lot of information to go in when we submit those applications to get that funding. Great. Helps it make it a stronger application.
Great. Thank you.
This is a nice program where there's no problem with the general fund.
No. That's correct. Yes, it is.
This is nice.
Yeah.
Move to approve.
Second.
Do we do
You can do it all in one, but offer it up to the public first.
Okay. Yeah. Is there any comment from the public? None? Okay. I think we have
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. Okay, we move on to administrative business. Ordinances, with respect to the approval of ordinances, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive a reading of the complete ordinance, and unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance be read in full, further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. Number 8, introduction of ordinance number 2017-002, amending chapter 11 of title 5 of the Reedley Municipal Code pertaining to medical and recreational marijuana. We have the chief.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Much to my chagrin, I did check the voting numbers, and it still shows that Prop 64 did pass. There was no shenanigans, so we have to go forward with the ordinance, unfortunately. But this is going to be the first reading of Ordinance 2017-002, for this introduction to amend Chapter 11 of Title 5 of the Reedley Municipal Code pertaining to the medical and recreational marijuana. As you recall, November 8, 2016, Prop 64 did pass overwhelmingly in California, which legalized recreational use of marijuana. Prior to November 8th, all marijuana was cultivation, selling, distribution of marijuana, medical and or recreational, was prohibited in the city of Reedley. However, with the passage of Prop 64, that changed how we address marijuana usage and recreational. What this ordinance will do, this ordinance combines medical marijuana and recreational uses into one so that it is easily defined and easily regulated, because it doesn't make sense for someone to have permission to do it medically, and if they're over 21, they can still do it recreationally. So we're trying to tackle two different things at one time, so it just made it much easier for us to put it into one ordinance so that it can be regulated much easier. So this ordinance will provide a number of regulations, rules, and requirements for the cultivation of marijuana, regardless of its intended use, either recreational or medical. However, what this ordinance will do is continue a ban on the distribution and sale and the businesses opening up in town to be able to sell any sort of marijuana. So that will continue to be a ban if so approved in its entirety. However, cultivation will be allowed. However, it'll only be allowed indoors in the residence, and it will not exceed a 24 square feet. The cultivation will be limited to personal use, again, whether it's medical or marijuana or recreational use, and commercial marijuana operations, including large-scale grows, manufacturing, testing labs, dispensaries, and deliveries of marijuana will continue to be prohibited. The use of use or consumption of marijuana will be prohibited in the outdoors and public areas, and will be limited to indoor within private residences or within any licensed medical clinic, healthcare facilities, or residential care or hospice facilities. This ordinance is designed to keep the consumption of marijuana out of the public view. So again, what this ordinance will do, will keep it indoors so that the smell cannot be smelled by the public or the use of it. The ordinance also contains regulations to the governing of lighting, use of gas products, ventilation, requirements, building code requirements, and everything that is used to ensure that we are maintaining public safety and not infringing upon a person's right, but maintaining public safety. So what this ordinance will do, this ordinance will allow us to meet those needs of our community, meet the needs of the safety, but then also allowing people to exercise their rights that they have voted in. So again, I just want to make it very clear that we will not infringe on a person's personal rights to cultivate marijuana, as long as they are doing it within the law and doing it within the ordinances and using the proper tools and the proper utilizing proper ventilation, so again, to meet any safety needs. This ordinance was presented to the Reedley Planning Commission on January 19th by myself and Ellen Moore from the Community Development, and the commissioners all unanimously recommended the approval to City Council. So again, before you is the first reading, is the first introduction of this. We did have an existing urgency ordinance in place as of November 8th, And what this ordinance will do, this ordinance will supersede that urgency ordinance. One other thing that we have decided to include into our ordinance is the permitting process, which will allow the police department to monitor those folks who are cultivating. But again, it's just a matter of so that we are ensuring that the people who are cultivating are utilizing, are ventilating their homes, that they're growing the amount that they are allowed to grow, that they are not exceeding any building code or not violating any building code issues or anything like that. So again, that's the only reason why we need to have the permitting process. So with that, that completes my report, and I would be happy to answer any of your questions.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any idea what kind of workload, added workload, that will place on your department?
Well, it depends on if people voluntarily come in and report to us that they are cultivating marijuana, recreational marijuana. And that is really unknown at this point, because it will be strictly voluntary for those folks. And the only way that we will be able to find out if someone does not have a permit is if we legally enter into a residence. We're not arbitrarily just going to be knocking on doors, but we would have to be there on another issue, and our officers identify that there is a cultivation, of illegal cultivation going on, and then we would instruct those folks that they would have to get a permit process or go through the permitting process. But it would involve folks from our community development department, from our code enforcement, from building, and from law enforcement in order to meet all those needs.
Now, is this if they own the property, or how about if they rent it?
If they own it, they have to go through the permitting process. Uh-huh. If it's a rental, they will have to get permission from the landlord or the owner of that property in order to have permission to do it. So we would have to get that permission up front.
Chief, we are still staying within the guidelines, the number of plants through the state recommendation of 6.
That is correct. Six. We are not increasing it. We are staying within the guidelines of the state of California.
Is there any other questions from the council?
You know, Chief, mm-hmm. when this first came about, Proposition 64, I was totally against it. Okay, and it was passed, so we have to abide by that. But the thing is, now that's coming up is what the federal government is going to do. They're going to come back to the states that approved it. Now, we're going to pass something tonight, and if it comes up that we have to redo it in the future, that's going to be another time that we have to sit here and deal with that thing. But in September the 8th, when it was brought to us, I asked if it was possible to have these individuals that applied for the marijuana grow, if we could register them, okay? And nothing came out, but after reading the new ordinance here that we have, new policy, you have so many restrictions there that they have to meet, and I'm satisfied with that. So we've got a lot of things that they have to follow. There's still some concerns about what's going to happen with the federal government. And these articles that have been in the paper this last few days, mm-hmm. Tells us what's going to happen. The penalties that can occur to individuals that do not abide by that federal law. So it's going to be interesting.
It sure will. We have been getting mixed signals. I've been getting mixed signals from the federal government as far as in which direction it's going to go. Because again, it's a matter, then it becomes a matter of, is it federal law, is it state rights to enact certain rules and regulations that is best for their state. And so we really don't know what the outcome is going to be or what the decision down the road is going to be. But based on what we are provided today, as of today, we feel that this ordinance will best serve our community. And if we do have to come back at a later date to change, then we'll have to do what's best for our community at that time.
Right. It was interesting to read the paper about Visalia that they're going to hold off for 6 months before they approve it. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens later on. And then, of course, there was an article from the police department from Visalia to the council saying that in Pablo, Colorado, that what they've increased with the increase of marijuana was a whole increase in homeless people coming in. So these are some of the things that we have to look at if this starts happening. So,
and some of those concerns really come from dispensaries or areas where they where they have pot shops.
Right.
And that's really where you start getting a lot of those issues. But because we are limiting it to residents, and those residents are responsible for their own property and for their own welfare, in that, you know, at the residence, you know, we think that that's going to help satisfy some of that, some of those issues, or at least alleviate some of those problems that may occur, because you do start having people starting to congregate around some of these pot shops. And so that could be a problem. But again, with Reedley's ordinance, we are completely banning any sort of dispensaries in our city.
But it's all about money. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's all about money.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're right, Councilmember Solano. And one of the things, I did run into a community member the other day who made a comment about, well, at least we'll be getting sales tax revenue off of it. Reedley will not be receiving any sales tax revenue off of marijuana because we won't be allowing the sale or distribution of it within Reedley. So that's something that I think our public needs to understand. We're not going to become this cash cow from marijuana sales. And one of the reasons that Visalia is holding off on some of that, there will be further changes made to the medical marijuana regulations. The state finally, even though this medical marijuana has been on the books for a decade now, they have finally this year of all years created the Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation, or the BUMMER is its acronym, believe it or not. Yeah. And so we know that they are working right now on regulations, and those regulations will come down from the state. And so you will probably see this ordinance come before you with changes, probably within the year, I would assume, so that we're in compliance with state law.
Yeah. So. Well, my concern is we're not going to receive any tax money. My concern is what we're going to spend for the crimes that's going to take place.
Absolutely.
When that takes place, we're going to, it's going to be an eye-opener for us. Really, so we're going to have to answer to the public. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just questioning the cultivation permit. I really think these people are not going to come up and tell you, we want to make a marijuana grow in our yard or in our house. And if they do, if they're renting, I don't see them coming to a landlord and asking them permission. And as a landlord in our town, do we have the right to tell them no if we own the home and they want to, or do we have to let them?
No, you have the right. You have the right to tell them no. You are the property owner, and it can be something that can be built into your own contracts for the, your own rental agreement, saying that, because you can regulate whether someone can have a dog or not have a dog, and on their property. And it's legal to have a dog. So, yeah, that's something that a property owner can do.
Okay. I also see here that it says that for rental properties, a copy of the owner's written authorization shall be posted in the same manner as the posting of the physician's ID card. Do you have a card, or do you have something that us as owners can give to them?
That will be part of the permitting process. Now, we haven't developed the form yet on what it's going to look like, and that was actually a conversation that Ellen and Rob and I had this morning. To, you know, if this is a, if this ordinance is approved and it's enacted, that we are going to have to sit down. There's still work ahead that we have to sit down and start developing the permitting process or the permit itself. What is it going to look like? You know, and then that could be something that can be included into that form. That if it is a rental and is a property owner, they have to certify that they are either the owner of the property, or they are the renter and they have the owner's permission.
Okay, I think there was one other question I had. So if they get a permit, that permit's going to expire after 12 months. Why don't you just get a permit and that's all?
Because what it does is, what we want to be able to do again is to ensure that that they are growing it in a safe manner. If we don't go back in, and let's say for instance they're only able to have up to 1,200 watts of power that's being utilized for this, and they increase their power output, it can create some sort of a fire hazard if they put in propane tanks that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. It creates a fire hazard. Mm-hmm. And so we have to constantly have that checks and balance to ensure that we're still allowing them to do it, but they're doing it correctly and safely. And so that's really what my concern is, and I think that's what our concern is going to be, is that they're doing it safely. Because there will be kids inside of these homes, and we want to ensure that those kids are safe and that there isn't any carbon monoxide issues because they're using, you know, some other heating source that is not authorized.
Another thing that you have in the section on page 11 of the ordinance about permitted uses, that you require a site plan approval, a site plan review application. So is that going to be part of your application?
I'm going to turn this one over to Ellen. We were prepared for this.
Ellen Moore, Associate Planner, Community Development. The short answer is no, we would not require a site plan review application. It would just be the cultivation permit. The reason this is in here is for, it's usually geared towards new development, because it says for newly proposed development to occur, if you have a permitted use, then you would go through a site plan review. So that's usually for new construction. So if it's just within the house, we wouldn't require that.
Hmm. Okay, so I want to grow marijuana in my house. So am I going to give you a map of where I'm going to grow it in my house? Or are you going to come to my house and help me draw up a map, or how is that going to work?
At this point, that would probably be useful information to know. That would be part of the permit that we would see where it would be, because we have to, you know, confirm that it's within the 24 square footage and everything. So it doesn't have to be a plan that's drawn up by an architect or anything
that.
Yeah, okay. Just either we would ask for approximate location, you know, in the kitchen or something like that. It wouldn't be an incredibly specific diagram or anything. The reason you see this here is, in general, we kind of have to balance between new development versus existing development. So new development is what requires a site plan review, since it's new and we don't know what's happening there. But if it's existing within an existing building, then it wouldn't require a site plan review. The other way you can determine that is if you go 10-6A-3, permitted uses, and then section A, permitted uses number 16, marijuana cultivation in accordance with chapter 11 of title 5 of this code. So if it calls out a specific section, then you would follow that section. You wouldn't necessarily follow the site plan review part.
Okay, I'm trying to understand this. Okay, thank you.
I have one question here, and I talked to the city manager yesterday about a fee that's going to be established, and it's on section 5.11.5 in the middle of the page of 8.13. Mm-hmm. About each personal cultivation permit, he must pay a personal cultivation permit fee. Can you explain that to us?
Yes, we do intend to charge a fee so that we can recoup our costs for providing the permit services. And under the law, we can't charge more than it costs us to provide that service. So what we want to do is put the application together and do a time study to determine the time, which then equals cost of resources. We'll create a fee based on that, and we'll bring that fee back to council so we can add that fee to the master fee schedule. And that's what we would charge somebody when they come in to get that permit.
Okay. And then also kind of talk about some of the policies that we put in place, and then all of a sudden the court finds it invalid. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to deal with that, Scott?
If the court strikes any of this down, this particular permit or this particular ordinance, well, we've got a severability clause, so it would basically say that if there's one provision that's struck down by the court, that the rest of it's going to continue to, mm-hmm. to be in effect. Mm-hmm. If that was to happen, we might look at it and say, okay, well, we're losing one provision. How can we modify that maybe to meet the court's, you know, ruling if that's the case. If the state was to come back, you know, maybe the voters, you know, have a change of heart in Prop 64, maybe there's an overturn of Prop 64. The code does provide, I want to find the specific section, I think it's 511.6. So the medical marijuana stuff would still hold because that's existing law and has been existing law. Uh-huh. But the way this was drafted, it's 511.5 on page 7. If you go to that paragraph, it says, to the extent that the city is required to allow the cultivation of recreational marijuana under state law, the rules set forth herein shall apply. So if, for some reason, state law changed and the city was no longer required to allow recreational marijuana use, then the permitting requirements and all the recreational provisions would just fall away. Mm-hmm. But the medical marijuana provisions would still hold. So okay. Basically what this is doing is saying, look, we understand state law is requiring us to do this, so we'll abide by state law. We'll allow recreational marijuana in accordance with state law, but if for some reason that changes, then we'll have to reevaluate it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any more questions from the council? If not, is there any comments from the questions from the public? I just wanted to say something first. I went to the California Health Collaborative in Fresno, and every month, and they had a presentation on medical and recreational marijuana this last month. But at previous meetings, we always had the county sheriffs there, and they would always report how many groves of marijuana they confiscated or you know, how many raids that mm-hmm. they had, and they picked up how many plants. And now how it's changed now, and this time they had the police chief from Selma come and make a presentation on what the cities needed to do, the police departments needed to do in order to enforce the 64 proposition. And so, but I was real happy to hear everything he said we were already doing. And I just feel really mm-hmm. good. Thank you for, you know, being ahead of the game and, mm-hmm. and doing that. Just, and I told them, you know, we're doing all that, you know. So it just mm-hmm. was a good feeling to know that we're doing everything possible. To, even though we have to deal with it, we're doing what we can.
Right.
Okay, so thank you for that. So
I just want to make sure that whatever we do put in place, that it is enforceable and we have time to do that. So that's probably my biggest concern. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve.
Could we close the
public hearing? We'll close the public hearing if there's no more comments. No more comments from the council. Okay, do I hear a motion then?
So moved.
Okay.
Second. Oh, go ahead.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Back?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Okay, number 9. Consider the following items related to enhancements in Mueller Park. Number A, improve location and authorize city manager to sign a memo of understanding with the Reedley Lions Club to build a dog park. And number B, approve location of future community garden.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Joel Glick, Community Services Director. I am very happy to be bringing these items to you. City staff has looked into providing the community with a dog park. Various sites have been considered over the past few years. For various reasons, none of these locations seemed appropriate. City staff has recently identified an area in Mueller Park. As you can see, this is where the skate park, basketball court is, the abandoned water well. We're looking at the dog park in this area here in the community garden. We have Northeast Avenue here and Sunset Avenue there. In May of 2016, staff was approached by Pete Perez, first vice president of the Reedley Lions Club. The club was interested in helping the city fund a dog park. In January 12th of 2017, this item was discussed at the Reedley Parks and Recreation Commission. The commission thought this was a great idea and a great location and gave a recommendation to council to move forward. After the commission meeting, city staff met with the Kings Canyon Unified School District. They brought up two concerns, the smell and the waste, and there's a gap between the fence from the bottom of the fence that separates the park from the school. City staff doesn't believe the smell will be an issue. The dog park users normally do a good job of policing themselves. Staff will also monitor the site to make sure that the trash and waste will be picked up. The other issue that was mentioned was the gap at the bottom of the fence. The school district thought it's a small gap, but small dogs may be able to get underneath it onto the school site, the Grant school site, and maybe some kids might stick their hand underneath it. Staff assured the school district that the fence will be extended down to prevent those issues. Okay, that's kind of hard to see. So in the agreement with the Reedley Lions Club, the project scope includes the fencing, which would be right here. This is would be the corner of the basketball court heading east. This is what the Lions Club would be doing. There is also a two-entry gate system right here. There is also a maintenance gate here that maintenance can come in and do the mowing or bring in the vehicles to do other maintenance. There is also a DG trail that's connected to the existing sidewalk. So if community members that want to utilize the dog park and park here on Sunset Avenue can walk on the sidewalk and then venture over to the dog park. Same thing over here on East Avenue. There's a sidewalk that goes through there. The Reedley Lions Club will hire a contractor, a licensed contractor, to construct the project. The city will provide the permits, the inspections, and services. They will also include a water line connection. If approved, staff will come back at a later date to adopt the rules and regulations, and as well as the name of the dog park. Now I want to touch on item B a little bit, approval of the location of the future community garden. Staff has also been working on providing a community garden that would be connected to the dog park. During the sports park master plan process, the public addressed a need to have a community garden. There was a closure of the city community garden that was located at the college, and staff was asked by the Champions for Change group. We had several other individuals come in to see if the city could provide a garden. Staff did identify this area, which is right here, at Mueller Park, which is right next to the abandoned water well. We did bring this to the Park and Rec Commission in March of 2016. They did give a recommendation to council for the location. The city staff also we thought it'd be a good time to just have council adopt a location. We thought we can save some money while we have the contractor out there doing the dog park, then we can just extend the fence for the community garden, just do it all at one time. So it would be just this area right in here. That's probably a better view right in there. Okay. And just to close on item B, staff is going to continue to work with Champions for Change. We are in the process of pursuing grant opportunities. And when we have a more a definite design, we'll be bringing that back to council for your approval. Now I have some other slides I wanted to show. This is basically the proposed site at Mueller Park. Just wanted you to show kind of the area where we have trees and a lot of shade. This is the corner of the basketball court, and the fence will, if installed, will continue east. Here's also a location again showing the shade trees. This is Grant School. We currently have a picnic table in the area. And I wanted you to see a dog park in Visalia, which is very similar size of the one we're proposing to put in Mueller Park. It's called Seven Oaks Bark Park. You can see the, let me get back here, kind of the two-way entry with the cement slab. They have benches, picnic tables, and you can see they have trees. And you can see the trees along here. And they do have a maintenance entry gate right there. And here's some other pictures of the park with the trees and a bench. And I took a picture of a couple of labs that were there. What's also somewhat unique about this space in Visalia, they identified, this was currently a park that wasn't well used, and they identified an area to put in a dog park, and that's basically what we're doing at Mueller Park. That back area isn't well utilized. So we feel if we put the dog park there in community garden, we're going to bring more community members to that space. And the last slide, just want to touch on the signage and the rules and regulations and the ordinance. City staff is going to be looking at these, fine-tuning them for Reedley. These are Visalia's signs, and we'll be bringing these back to you at a later date for your approval. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does that include any kind of liability? What kind of liability are we?
Yes, in the ordinance there is some rules and regulations, and the dog owner has some liability. Also, the dogs have to be licensed in order to enter the dog park. And there is a leash ordinance that they're on a leash until they get into the dog park.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say that my daughter she's going to be so happy when this is all said and done.
It's going to be nice. I hope that a lot of these people that like to walk their dogs in the neighborhoods will take advantage of this, because they're going to have a little pooper scooper there, which they don't use out in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And we as property owners have to clean up after those individuals.
Yes. So we
I wish you'd come up with some kind of ordinance for the people that walk their dogs out in public. But that's another issue.
Yes. Well, inside the dog park, we'll have I'll call them the poopy bags, so they'll be there to put in a trash dispenser. So hopefully the dog park users will utilize that. Again, I went to City of Visalia, visited both sites there, went to the City of Lemoore, and then the City of Exeter, which all have dog parks. And we actually talked to some of the folks there, and they basically concurred what I'm saying is that we kind of police ourselves, and we'll kind of get on somebody if they don't pick up their mess. So.
Any more comments from the council?
I just have a question on the dog park versus the community garden. Is there a reason why the dog park's so big and the community garden's so small?
Well, again, I did take some measurements of dog parks, and this is probably on the smaller side. This is what Exeter currently has, and Visalia has two. This is a smaller one. You just need an area where that the dogs can kind of stretch out and run a little bit. And the community garden, we can fit 20 plots in there, 10 by, I believe, 15. So that's a pretty good area. Mm-hmm. And we are working with Champions for Change, and there's some interest there with their families. But we're even looking at our preschool.
the Boys and Girls Club, and possibly when I talked to the school district, I was talking maybe a class or two at the Grant Middle School could take a plot. Mm. And also the seniors are talking about, so we're going to have a lot of people in there, hopefully gardening.
So will there be like one person coordinating that, or how would we sign up for a plot?
Well, that's what we're kind of working through right now. And I have some ideas, but I don't have a definite answer yet. But that's what we'll be bringing back to council. It may be just an agreement with the Champions for Change group and some of the other individuals that I mentioned. And there'll be some rules and regs out there also.
So the action that we're asking council to do tonight regarding the community garden is simply to validate or confirm that this area is suitable and you're okay with this area, and that it also, your action will allow us to fence that off so that we can leverage a contractor already being mobilized and out there. But we have not yet received grant funds. We are applying for several grants for community garden items, tools, mm-hmm. etc. But we won't be moving forward yet with the community garden, the irrigation, and the plots. So that'll come back to the council at a later date.
One other question I have, I'm seeing circles in the little picture or diagram. Are there trees in that area that the community garden will go in now?
Yeah, there is one tree there. It's a large liquid amber that we may be taking out because of they are a dangerous tree in droplands. Plus, yeah. It shades that area so yeah. well, you know, yeah. we need sunlight in that area for the garden.
I know our moms, Champion for Change moms, a lot of the families, they live in apartments, and we have a lot of apartments here, so it makes it really difficult for them to really garden, so this will be benefit them also mm-hmm. so that they can grow their own vegetables and
good.
Have a place to call so that they can come and work. Any more comments from the council? Is there any comments from the public? If not, I'll close the public hearing. And then is there a motion to approve? Is this A and B, or do we separate? Or
you can do them either together or separate
together.
Them.
We'll do it together.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes. Okay, receive reports and information. And also, council reports. Bob? Councilman Beck?
Okay, had an opportunity to attend the League of City Dinners in Selma back on the 16th. I think they had a pretty good presentation, but it was so hard to hear. You couldn't get a lot out of it. It was tough, but they did have a well-rounded group, I believe, there that was to do with the
climate plan.
Yeah, it was the climate plan, and they had several people from Fresno State and other groups there. So, but it was so difficult to hear in there. They didn't have any microphones or anything set up, so it was kind of difficult. Attended the flag lowering with the chief for Officer Behar on the 24th. It's always somber, but it's also great that we don't forget. That's important. Last night, I had the opportunity to attend the Five Cities meeting. We had the opportunity to give Nicole another job last night. She's now a member of the EDC board, I believe, and she'll be taking former city manager Dave Elias's place. So now have a voice on the EDC board. So.
That's good.
Yeah. Right. And that's all I have.
Councilman Pignon?
Yes, thank you. I had the privilege to attend the new dialysis center here in Reedley, and met some people there, and really a great addition to Reedley, I think, rather than having our folks have to drive to Fresno or Visalia. Mm-hmm. What a great organization to have here. It looks like they have a great team of people that are definitely qualified to do what they're here to do. So that was a pretty exciting time. Also, went on a tour to the water treatment plant with Russell Robertson. What a amazing operation. I had no idea that it was so intense and so involved. And I thought, wow, Martha does such a great job keeping that place just running. And I was really impressed. And so that was a great tour. Thank you, Russ, for that. Also, attended the Valentine's luncheon at the community center on the 14th and had an opportunity to talk to some folks about what's going on at the community center. And Joel, good job. I heard a lot of great things, and you and Sarah are doing wonderful, wonderful things at the community center. So I two thumbs up. So that's all I have, and I'm just excited to be part of this team.
Oh, thank you. Councilman Salena?
No, I have none.
I'll take up your time.
Okay. I see the list.
Number nine. I'll go through real quickly. Just thank you, Chief. Where'd you go? There you are. Not sitting in your spot over there. The memorial for Javier Behar, thank you. I know it's been a few years, but when I come to that, I remember it as if it was yesterday. So pretty humbling. Yeah. Also attended the Palm Village, the soup supper this evening for a fundraiser there. Attended a couple of Emmanuel boys and girls basketball games. Both of those teams are doing very well right now. So they're, one of them has a game tonight that I get to miss. Also attended a ribbon cutting for Reedley Chiropractic over on 11th Street. And right after that, they had Kim had Good Morning America, or Good Morning America. Good Morning Reedley. I want to say America. A chamber gathering. And she's done a really good job at coordinating that and getting the businesses to work together and use each other, use their strengths. So I thought that was really great. Also attended the Kings River Groundwater Sustainability Agency. And basically what we're doing there is just setting up kind of our format of bylaws and all of the legal stuff that has to be done for this organization to be formed. And we're finding out that very few other areas are as far along as we are. So I think we will be setting the example and others will be following this organization. So I think people will be looking at that for leadership in the future. Also attended the League of California Cities that Bob already talked about. Not real thrilled with what they talked about. And also had a chance to meet with Kim Hoff at the Chamber to kind of discuss what the city's role is and kind of how the Chamber will be helping us to do a lot of the things that we need to do in the area of businesses. Also had a new grandson born last week. Yay. So I was busy there, proud grandma of another little boy. And also a couple of weeks ago, I met with Joel Glick and the Lewis Palau facility team out at the sports park regarding the festival that they're planning to have on March the 25th. Out at the sports park. So there's been a lot of publicity for the Fresno festival, but not a whole lot yet for the Reedley one. So just maybe if we can exponent get the word out. That'll be probably an all-day event on March the 25th at the sports park. And that's all that I had. Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to share a couple of things. The mothers that I work with and at the school, and I participated in the College Parkway walk and run this last Saturday.
Oh,
and it was their second year. But they really enjoyed it, and a few of them came home with medals. Oh, so they were really excited. So, and then I went to a meeting, and Cindy Trimble was there, also from the PD and the school district and the college. They're planning a youth prevention conference for May here at the Reedley College, and it's sponsored by the California Health Collaborative Above the High. And it's going to be, that sounds like a great conference for youth, and they're inviting all the surrounding area kids to that. And so it's going to be a good thing for us. Mm-hmm. So nice to have the college here where we can bring a lot of people in. It's a good meeting place. And I also went to two COG meetings already, and a lot to process, but and they're getting ready to go to their One Voice trip in Washington. So, and then about 3 weeks ago, we had a presentation at our school on immigration. And we usually have one every year, but this year we really needed to have it. It was really important. And we have a MCC person from the Midnight Central Committee who's trained and works with immigration. And so she came and made the presentation. The moms ask us a lot of questions, and there's a lot of fear out there. And like us, we're not the experts, so we have an expert come in, because those kind of questions, they need the right answers, especially when they hear something and the rumors fly, and then everybody, you know, it's good information, and it needs to go out. So there's a lot of families that are out there that are afraid right now, and so are their kids, you know. So it was, we had a good turnout at the school, and we're going to have another one in another month, just to keep them informed of what's happening, because the changes are coming, and you know, hear so many things, and so they need to know, to be aware. And and then a week later, I had our police chief come in, and hopefully you relieve some of their fears and anxieties that they have with our PD, because they don't know what part our PD plays in the immigration and how they work with ICE. Mm-hmm. And so it was real good that he came in, and he made us feel comfortable. And he's come in, you come in almost every year to meet our families, and so that they become, you know, familiar with his face. And so it was very helpful for him to come in. And so, because if they're so scared of RPD and don't understand what their part is, they're not going to report crimes. You know, they're going to stay away from police no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so they needed to know that. And he verified, he went over and over, you know, we're here to protect you and protect everyone that lives here in the city. And he mentioned it over and over and reassured them what their position was as far as with the immigration. So I'm very thankful for that, really thankful. So they had good information that they could go out and give to the rest of their family and friends, because they heard it from the chief, you know. So anyway, so that's it. Is there any more comments, and we'll have reports from the staff.
Okay, seeing none, Mayor, I do have a few updates for the council. As Councilmember Fast mentioned, we did have our second GSA meeting. Just an update on all of the GSAs that are being formed. As you know, SGMA requires any overdrafted and highly overdrafted groundwater basin to have GSAs that cover the entire basin. We've been working for about 18 months now as a county group together. And, you know, Buddy Mendez had appointed me to sit on that board. And so Reedley has had a voice on that board. And in fact, we determined that 5 GSAs for the area would be formed. As of today, 4 of the GSAs have been formed and are moving along forward. The last GSA, though, is CID and its territory, and the 5 cities within its territory. Right now, it looks like those five cities may get together and form their own GSA, separate and aside. However, it's unclear right now. So we are all watching them, but I think this council did a very wise thing in partnering with the 17 other agencies on the east side and going for a legislatively created GSA, because if there is any area within the groundwater basin that is not covered and doesn't meet the timelines, the state has the legal ability to step in and control the groundwater. So at least we are protected here because we have a legislative creative GSA. So we're watching that, but right now we're in great shape. On Tuesday, Reedley College is celebrating its 90th anniversary. They're having a celebration, and then immediately after that celebration, they're having their State Center Community College District board meeting here at Reedley College. It's very nice for us, and particularly nice for John Robertson and I, because we will have to speak before the board and ask them for an easement for undergrounding utilities along Reed Avenue for the North project that will take place in 2018 or so. So John and I will be in front of that board next Tuesday night at Reedley College. Next week is actually going to be fairly busy as well. On Wednesday night, Thursday, and Friday, COG is holding its regional policy conference. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was really interesting. There were some panels about new technology in transportation, about what's going on in other cities in transportation. I am signed up to attend on behalf of Reedley, but if any of you would like to attend, my understanding is they're trying to get more people registered. So that's something that is happening Thursday and Friday, and Wednesday night they're having a reception at the zoo to kick it off. So let Sylvia or me know and we'll sign you up for that. Tomorrow I'll be meeting with the Central Valley Regional Foundation up in Fresno. The Regional Foundation funds projects. They get large donations, bequeathments, things of that nature, and then they fund projects. They apparently have a special fund that was donated specifically for Reedley, Dinuba, Orosi areas, and so I'll be meeting with them tomorrow in Fresno to determine how they might be able to assist us in our vision and our goals. And then Friday, we have a meeting with Habitat for Humanity. Habitat's interested in coming into Reedley and potentially building some Habitat homes here, so we'll be talking to their CEO and board member about where and how and all of that good stuff. So just lastly, I wanted to let the council know that even though it feels like it's far away, budget time is upon us, and our departments are working hard right now to put together their draft budgets. We do it this far in advance because, as you know, we are looking at every dollar that we spend in this community, and so the departments put their draft budgets together. We then meet together, go through them all, and package that together and provide that to you. And so in May, you'll get the proposed budget and we'll be rolling through that. So it's coming faster than we'd all like, I'm sure. So our departments are actually very busy right now with the green eye shades putting their numbers together. So any staff updates? Oh, I'm sorry. Can I absolutely miss this, and I apologize. We have a brand new community development director as of yesterday, and we have our returning, Paul. And so with Rob joining us yesterday as community development director, and I can tell you already that he is going to be fabulous. We have a full team. We are ready to go, and it just feels wonderful. So,
great.
Rob, welcome aboard.
Just a couple items. I wanted to first update you. I think we all know on the Reed Avenue project, the second stage of construction has started today, so the traffic shift happened. The roundabout is open, and so traffic is going through. Everything went fairly smooth. I would say pretty smooth, much smoother than I was. I'll leave it there. It went well. Currently, this phase that we're in now is approximately going to be about 2.5 months before we finish that. There is no access on Reed Avenue to the businesses from Reed Avenue, from Manning to just north of Rhodes fuel station. That with about 2.5 months long, we'll be doing road reconstruction and putting in a median in that area. It's moving along well. I know it seems like it's a long time. We've had a lot of rain going on, but we have done a lot of work out there. And I'd like to give a summary on this report, but we all don't want to get bored with all the engineering information. So. But it went well, and we will have one more major traffic shift, and that will be when we do the actual intersection of Reed and Manning. We actually have to do that one. It's a busy intersection, has a lot of traffic going through it, so we have to stage it in such a way that we impact as there's as less of an impact as we can possibly put out there. So, but it's moving along well. The contractor's doing a good job. We're getting a good product, and I think everyone will be very happy with it when we're done. I'm probably happy that we're done more than anything. I did want to take time to introduce you to a new employee with the engineering department. Antonio Cisneros, come on up here, Antonio. Antonio comes from us, from a couple private firms he'd been working with after he finished school at Fresno State and graduated with a civil engineering degree. And he's got a couple years underneath your belt and a young family that he's working with and growing, and we're really pleased to have with him. We brought him on after we got six applicants that applied, and Antonio came out on top, and we're really pleased to have him. He's done a great job and a great addition to the team, so we're really glad to have him on here.
Thank you.
Looking forward to working with you.
Welcome.
That's great.
Welcome.
Thank you. So that's all I had.
One question.
Yes, sir.
Have you found PG&E yet?
Oh, yeah. They're on my radar. I send emails to them. In fact, I sent an email, long one, that the city manager is CC'd on that she's not going to read because it's too long.
Oh, I've already read it.
She'll briefly read, tonight. So we were working with them quite a bit, and we're getting good responses.
Yeah, I can tell the council and the community that as of last week, we finally got a signature on the last piece we needed in order to get on PG&E's schedule for them to finally do that undergrounding and remove that post. So,
John, the intersection of Manning and Reed, that work will be done, and I hear you say in the past it's going to be done at night.
We're working with the contractor on that. There's some options that we're considering. One of them could be night, one of them could be the weekends. We're trying to really schedule it in the right way to lessen as much impact as we can.
Okay. All right.
So we haven't finalized it yet. The contractor, we've got to work with him. We can't direct him, but we can in some things give him parameters, but to work within, but we're working with him to come up with a good schedule to get that done as quickly as we can.
Good. People are asking. They know we're going to go eventually go north, and so they were just asking about the intersection.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to be a big job, and it's we're trying to do some things that are going to shorten the construction time that he has to be out there, in addition to whether we're considering nighttime or weekends or something like that. That might also help reduce the impact.
I have clientele that say, when are you guys going to finish this? This has been taking too long. I said, you know, we had people in the past that complained, when are you guys going to fix Reed Avenue? I said, we're doing it now. Now you complain that we're not doing it fast enough. So, oh, it's nice to hear those individuals complain.
I do want to give a little bit of shout out to John Ernest from the Exponent. He's done a great job working with us and getting information out and being a real positive support of the project and communicating information has been really good. So we really appreciate
that. Thank you, John.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Me again. Just a couple of things I'd like to mention tonight and share with you. Back in September of 2016, the fire department received a request to assist firefighting efforts at the Vandenberg Air Force Base. And just recently I received a thank you from them and a very nice card. Mm. And what it says, there were actually three incidents on the base at the time that we went. And we spent about a week there. The Canyon Fire, the Washington incident, and Oak Canyon Fire, 17th through the 25th of September 2016. In sincere appreciation to Reedley Fire Department, on behalf of the men and women of Vandenberg Air Force Base, thank you for your participating in fighting three simultaneous fires and protecting one of our nation's most valued strategic assets. Mm. Signed by J. Christopher Moss, Colonel, United States Air Force Commander, the 30th Space Wing. So I thought I'd just share that with you folks. Oh, so nice. We do get some accolades for the efforts that we spend out of town assisting on these large wildland fire events.
That's
they
great.
Did send a pretty cool picture, too, of a rocket going up. So, the other thing I wanted to mention was our ladder truck. It's done. It is now on its way to California. Myself and the battalion chief spent 2.5 days in South Dakota back February 15th, 16th, and 17th doing some final inspection work. And today it's on its way. In fact, a lady stopped at the fire station today, ran into the garage where we were standing, and said, "You will not believe this." And she handed her phone over, and it's a picture of our ladder truck. Her her best friend, who is an ex-Reedley resident, lives in North Platte,
Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And she saw Reedley's ladder truck while she was having lunch in town.
Oh, so, that's great.
It is on its way here. It's heading south. It's going to take a southern route. And
That's smart. Lots of snow in the north. Yeah.
Yes. And we're hopeful that it'll reach California by Saturday.
Oh, great.
So it's a slow ride in those big things. Yeah. But we'll keep you posted.
Where great. In South Dakota was that built?
North Platte.
North?
The manufacturing plant is in South Dakota. The truck was spotted in North Platte, Nebraska.
Nebraska. Yeah.
Okay. So, that's all I had.
That's cute.
Now I got to be the giver of the bad news, I guess. We've been talking about Mueller Park this evening. Unfortunately, the skate park at Mueller Park has been closed once again. You may recall that a couple of months ago, we did a complete overhaul of the skate park. Mm-hmm. Through all the rains that we've had the last couple of months, we've noticed that a couple of boards started to warp up, and situation became dangerous for the users, so we had to close the park. We have had the contractor out. We've had the manufacturer's representative out to the park. They have determined that it is a manufacturer defect. So the good news is it looks like the manufacturer is going to stand behind their product and replace the boards at no cost to us. So that's good. The bad news is that the park will be closed at least for probably another 4 weeks before we can get all this situated and happened. But just wanted to make you aware of that.
Good. Is there a note out there letting the kids know why it's closed?
There's not a full explanation. Uh-huh, it's just something... that park is temporarily closed. Yeah. Hmm. So I wanted to provide an explanation this evening as to why. Uh-huh. Unfortunately.
Well, it's just, I mean, is it very obvious why it's closed? I mean, that the kids can see it, or do they just think it's closed because anybody in there?
Yeah, you know, it's not really obvious. I mean, uh-huh. the boards are just warped slightly, but it's uh-huh. enough that it will hook a skateboard uh-huh. wheel. Uh-huh. So, unfortunately, you know, when we close the park, I go by at night and I see they climb the fence, they get in.
They knew why, that it was a safety issue. You know?
Yeah. We've put signs up in the past. And they do. Some of our signs disappear yeah. and some of them are ignored. So, unfortunately, that's the situation we have.
Disappear just like trees?
Oh, you heard about our, yeah.
I shared with the council. Do we chain trees into the ground? I don't know how we keep people from stealing our trees now. But yes, the council was made aware. So. And I believe that's all for this evening, council.
Okay. If there's no more, we'll go into closed session. And I'll turn it over to our attorney.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. There's two items on this evening's closed session. One is conference with real property negotiators. The property address, the APN, as noted by the city clerk, has been corrected on the agenda. It's APN 365-19037T under negotiation, price and terms. Government code section, the next item then is government code section 54957, public employee performance evaluation, and that's the city manager position. If there's any public comment on either of those items before we retire into closed session, now is the time.
If not, we'll go into closed session.
Yes. And then we'll reconvene after the closed session.